All right, we come in our study of one book of the Bible every week to the Gospel of John. There are four Gospels in the New Testament. Let's say them together, all four Gospels. Everybody all together? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That wasn't very hard. Now let's go back to the beginning, the book of Genesis, and make a run all the way through the book of John. Are you ready for that? All right, here we go, everybody. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You're getting pretty good at that. That's good. And just keep reviewing and you'll have them down so well you'll never forget them. All right, the Gospel of John. Open your Bibles to that book of the New Testament, the Gospel of John. John's Gospel is called the Gospel of Belief. And as in each one of these Gospels, there's a different emphasis. Each Gospel presents Christ from a different viewpoint, a different perspective, a different emphasis. Matthew presented Christ how? The king, all right. Matthew presented Christ as the king, and it was written primarily to which people? Jews. Pretty rusty now, you were forgetting. The book of Mark presented Christ how? Servant, all right. And it was written primarily to emphasize this to which people? Romans. Luke presented Christ how? All right, the perfect man, the ideal man, the Son of Man. And that was written primarily with what people in mind? The Greeks. And the Gospel of John presents Christ not as the king, not as the servant, not as the Son of Man, but as God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it was written not primarily for the Jews or the Romans or the Greeks, but it was written for all the world. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. Now, notice John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the beginning was the Word. Now, in the book of Matthew, the genealogy of Jesus was traced back to whom? Back to Abraham. And in the book of Mark, what about the genealogy there? Wasn't any. Who cares about the genealogy of a servant? The book of Luke traces the genealogy of Jesus back to Adam, the first man. And the book of John, since it presents Christ as God, says in the beginning, the Word was already there, takes Jesus Christ way back into eternity. And so in this book, the Gospel of John, we have God come in the flesh. Notice again, chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word, the embodiment of truth, the message from God. And of course, that's a reference to Jesus Christ, because you go down to verse 14, and it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus Christ, eternal God, the revelation of God, the truth of God, the expression of the truth of God, became flesh. He became a man. That's the Gospel of John. God becoming man for us. Verse 3. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Him, the Word, Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things. He is God, the Creator. And in verse 18, it says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." The reason Christ came into this world, so that we could see what God was really like. People say, "Oh, I don't know what God's really like. We can't see God. I've never seen God." But Jesus Christ was God come down here so he could show us what God was like. Now, in this great book, the most common word is the word believe. Belief. Believed. John 1:12. "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that" what? "Believe on his name." Chapter 3, verse 15. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up," as we sang about, verse 15, "that whosoever" what? "Believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever" what? "Believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And in verse 18, "He that" what? "Believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Oh, there's the key. There's the heart of the matter. Do we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, eternal God come in the flesh? Verse 36, "He that" what? "Believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Oh, you see, that's the message. Belief in Jesus Christ. It's not what you do. It's not what church you belong to. It's not what kind of ceremony you have experienced. But do you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ, that he's the Savior that you need, that he's God who came down here to die on the cross for our sins and rise again from the dead to give eternal life to all who trust him? Oh, you see, that's the key. Either you believe that or you don't. Now through this gospel, first of all, we see the response of those who believed. Those who believed. Notice, first of all, the disciples. Chapter 1, verse 34. John, the writer of the book, says, speaking about the baptism of Christ and the Spirit descending upon him, he says, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." He believed. He had seen. He heard the voice from heaven. He saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Chapter 1, verse 41. Here is Andrew. It says, "He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. And they knew that Messiah was Emmanuel, God with us. And they said, "We found him." He believed. And in chapter 1, verse 49, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." That disciple believed. In chapter 2, we find the first miracle. When Jesus went to the wedding and turned the water into wine, and you notice it concludes in verse 11 of chapter 2 by saying, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples" what? "Believed on him." That was the result of that miracle. They believed. Now you go on to chapter 4. Where Jesus goes to the well at Sychar in Samaria. And there he meets a Samaritan woman. And he talks with her. And after he's done talking with her, she goes back to the city. And in verse 29 she says, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" This has to be the Messiah. This has to be the Savior. This has to be the Son of God. verse 39. After she tells the folk in the city about it, and they come out and meet Jesus themselves, it says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city," what? "Believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.'" Now verse 41, it says, "And many more," what? "Believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" You see, they met him, they understood him, they listened to him, and they believed. Now in that same chapter, there was a nobleman whose son was ill, and Jesus restored him to life. And it says in verse 53, "So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, 'Thy son liveth,' and himself believed," and his whole house. Believed what? Believed that his son was brought back to health? No. Believed that this man who had done it was the Messiah, the Savior, God come in the flesh. He believed that. Turn on to chapter 6. In chapter 6, you find Jesus feeding the multitude of 5,000 and more. And in verse 14, when this miracle has been completed, it says, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, 'This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world.'" It says, "This is the prophet." They believed, you see, because they saw that miracle. Chapter 7. In chapter 7, Jesus is teaching. And at the conclusion of his message, it says in verse 31, that many of the people, what? Are you with me? Chapter 7, verse 31. Many of the people, what? Believed on him and said, "When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done?" Can't do more miracles. Therefore, this one must be the Messiah. They believed. In chapter 9, Jesus heals a man who's been blind from birth. And this man has a run-in with the authorities. And they excommunicate him from the synagogue. And in verse 35, it says, "Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, 'Dost thou believe on the Son of God?' He answered and said, 'Who is it, Lord, that I might believe on him?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee.' And he said, 'Lord, I believe.'" And he worshipped him. He was convinced. And as you go through this book, John is outlining how various people met Jesus Christ. They saw him, they heard him, they were touched by him, and they believed. Chapter 19. Chapter 19, we're at the crucifixion. And in verse 35. John comments on the events of the crucifixion and the death of Christ. And it says in verse 35, "He that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might," what? "Believe." You see, he wanted to record these things, John did, so others would believe as well. Chapter 20, verse 8. Jesus has risen from the dead. And the disciples come to the tomb. Peter and John run together. And Peter goes in first. And he comes out scratching his head. And it says, verse 8, "Then went in also that other disciple." It's John, the writer. He's just modest, talking about himself. "Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre. And he saw and," what? "Believed." Believed what? He believed in the resurrection. He knew exactly what had happened. He believed that Jesus had risen from the dead just as he said he would. And in each case, these individuals who met Jesus and saw him realized who he was. They faced the facts and they believed. And the whole issue Is Christ the Messiah? Is He God come in the flesh? And they believed. Now, as we go through this book, we notice also that John gives us the reasons why people believed. Why should they believe? Well, if Jesus was not God, He made some awful wild claims. If you would meet someone today who made those kind of claims, you'd say, you better put them away. Better put them in an institution. Better put them in an asylum somewhere because of all these wild things He is saying. Jesus said those kind of things. He claimed to be God. And the skeptic would have to say either He was God or He was crazy. One of the two. Well, we know which one it was. He was God. And He had the right to make those claims. For anyone else to make those claims, they would have been deluded. They would have been crazy. But Christ made those claims because He was true. Now, in chapter 5, Jesus is disputing with some of these folks, and He gives them reasons why they should believe in Him. We find them in chapter 5. First of all, He mentions the witness of John the Baptist. Verse 31, He says, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye send unto John, and he bear witness to the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." He's talking about John the Baptist, and he's preaching in the wilderness. And John the Baptist said, "This one is the Son of God. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." There was the witness of John. There was also the witness of his works. Verse 36. He says, "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me." He says, look at the things that I've done. And they knew the Old Testament prophecies. They knew that the Messiah was to heal the sick and raise the dead, give hearing to the deaf and sight to the blind. And Jesus did those works and did those miracles to demonstrate, to prove, to show them that He was the Son of God. The works bear witness to who He was. And then there was also the witness of the Father. Verse 37. "And the Father Himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me." You remember when Jesus was baptized and the voice came, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And when He was on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was the voice, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." The Father bore witness that Jesus was the Son of God. And then there was also the witness of Scripture. Verse 39. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." You check out the Old Testament Scriptures, and they predicted how I would be born and where I would be born and my family tree and all these other details. The Scriptures bear ample evidence that He was the Son of God. And then there was the witness of Moses. Verse 46. He says, "For had ye believed Moses, he would have believed me, for he wrote of me." Moses said, "A prophet like unto me I will raise up, and unto him shall the people hearken." And they all respected Moses. Moses was the greatest writer of Scripture to their mind. He says, "Moses gave witness of me." And then if you turn on to chapter 12, we find there was also, in addition to those witnesses, the witness of Lazarus. Chapter 12, verse 11. Speaking of Lazarus, that in chapter 11, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. In chapter 12, they all came around to see Lazarus. And it says in chapter 12, verse 11, "Because that by reason of him," well, better read verse 10, "the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus." Why did they believe? Because they could go and see Lazarus and talk to him, and Lazarus could say, "Yes, I was dead for 3 days. Everybody knows that. And Jesus came and restored me from the dead. And they believed because of the witness of Lazarus. And then in chapter 14, verse 11, chapter 14, verse 11. Jesus says, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. My works bear witness that I am the Son of God." And then in chapter 14, verse 29, there is the witness of prophecy. It says, "Now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. You will see these things fulfilled, and that is a witness to the fact that I am the Son of God." And here we have all this incredible string of witnesses that would establish the claims of anyone in a court of law. You see, they heard John. They saw the miracles. They read the prophets. They should have known and believed the evidence. Peter says, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables. We have the sure word of prophecy." And yet there were always some. Like Thomas. Remember Thomas chapter 20, verse 25? He just wasn't very sure about the whole thing. Chapter 20, verse 25, since Thomas wasn't there on Sunday night when Jesus appeared to the other disciples, skipped church that Sunday night, it says, "The other disciples," verse 25, "therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I'm not convinced. You've got to show me." And so a few days later, Jesus came again the next Sunday night and met with the disciples. And Thomas was there that time. And he says, "Here, Thomas, put your finger in this nail print in my hand. Now thrust your hand in my side and see, it's really, I really am the risen Savior." Verse 29, chapter 20. Jesus said, verse 28, "Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." He says, "Now I believe you're God." Verse 29, "Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Well, they're always people like that say, "Well, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen God. I haven't seen heaven." You know, when a matter goes to trial before a jury, the jury, if someone's accused of a crime, the jury has never seen the crime. All they do is look at the evidence and listen to the evidence. And they make their decision, this man is guilty or this man is innocent, on the basis of the evidence presented. They didn't see whether he committed the crime or not, but they look at the evidence. And that's what we do. And that's what John is doing in this book. He's laying out the evidence and saying the evidence is there. You have to believe it. Now, notice the response of belief or unbelief. You know, there are always two responses to Jesus Christ. Some believe and some don't. Go back with me to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 12. Verses 11 and 12. "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." He came. Some received him. Some believed him. Some didn't receive him. They didn't believe him. Two responses. Chapter 3, verse 20. 21. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." Jesus was the light. Says some come to the light, some run away from the light. Like the difference between bugs and moths, you know. You turn the rock over, let the light into that dark place, and all the bugs run for the dark. You turn the light on, and all the moths come to the light. and Jesus was the light, and some rejected Him and went away from Him, and some came to Him and believed Him. Chapter 6, verse 66. Jesus has been talking about the bread of life. He explained that to them. In verse 66 it says, "From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him." Oh, there was a crowd that had been following Him around, listening to Him, but they didn't believe. And when it really got down to where it counts, they left. Verse 67, "Then Jesus said unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered to Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." They believed. Now, all of them saw the same things. All of them heard the same things. Some left and did not believe, and some stayed because they did believe. The believers followed Him, and the unbelievers did not. In chapter 7, there is a great feast. And in verse 30, at the end of that feast, when it says, "Then they sought to take Him," that is to arrest Him, "but no man laid hands on Him because His hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on Him and said, When Christ cometh, will He do more miracles than these which this man hath done?" Two groups there, you see. Some of them wanted to arrest Him and put Him to death, and some of them believed Him and trusted Him. Chapter 7, verse 40. "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of Him." Remember when Jesus said, "I come to send a sword." Division between father and mother and children and parents and brother and sister. And here He was presenting His claims, and some said, "This is not the Christ," and some said, "It is." And there was division because of that. Chapter 8, verse 47. Jesus said, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." He said there's two kinds of people out there. Some will receive and believe these words and believe in Me. Some will not receive these words and will reject Me. Division. Belief and unbelief. Verse 58, chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus said unto them, as they were talking about His background, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And He used the term which to the Jews was the title of God. I am the one who always is. They knew exactly what that meant. And it says in verse 59, "Then took they up stones to cast at Him." They rejected. They refused to believe. Chapter 10, verse 19. "There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He has a devil and is mad. Why hear ye Him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" Division. Belief and unbelief. Said, "He's a faker." And others said, "No, he can't be. He's true." Verse 33, chapter 10. "The Jews answered, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." They knew exactly what He was saying. Now, sometimes you meet people, these liberals, who say, "Jesus never claimed to be God." Well, those people sure thought He did. They said, "The reason we're going to stone you is because you claim to be God." And He did. And they rejected it. Now, chapter 11, verse 27. Mary and Martha those sisters whose brother Lazarus had died. Jesus comes to them, and verse 27, Martha says, she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Verse 42, Jesus says, And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe. He said, The reason I prayed this prayer to raise Lazarus from the dead is so the people might believe that I am from God. Verse 45, Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Belief and unbelief. Some believed and some went and helped those who wanted to kill him. You see, there's always two responses to Jesus Christ. Belief or unbelief. Either you accept his claims or you reject him. It's either yes or no. And when a person hears the gospel that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the only one who can save them from eternal death, then they have to respond in one way or the other. Either they believe it and accept it, or they disbelieve it and reject it. And everyone that hears the gospel has to face that decision. You see, there is no middle, there is no neutral ground in war. And there is no room on top of the fence. Neither you turn to him or you turn away from him. You can't say, well, I'm just making up my mind. I'm thinking about it. No, either you accept him or you've rejected him. And the unsaved person rejects Jesus Christ. And sometimes people will say, oh, well, I believe. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you? Do you believe that you can have eternal life by trusting him? Do you believe that his death and his death alone paid for your sins? Do you believe that you're lost if you do not accept him? Do you believe that he will save you if you receive him? Well, you see, if you really believe that, then you accept Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe that, you reject him. Why do people do that? Fourthly, what is the reason for unbelief? Why? Did people? I mean, they saw what he did. They heard what he said. They knew. Why would they reject him? Why would they not believe? Chapter 12, verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Oh, you meet these people sometimes. Oh, if I saw a miracle, I'd believe. They saw miracles, they didn't believe. Verse 39. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Why is it that people don't believe? Why is it that when even the evidence is there, and they see the scriptures, they still won't believe? Well, go back to chapter 6, verse 44. Jesus explains why that is. He says, No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, God knows the real condition of the human heart. He knows that we are all by nature rebels against God. He knows that there's none that doeth good. No, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. He knows that we're spiritually, in our unsaved condition, we're spiritually dead. We're not able to come to God. He knows that we're spiritually blind. We can't see the light of the gospel. He knows that we are rebellious and proud, and we will not humble ourselves. How then can anyone believe? It takes the work of God in somebody's heart. It takes the work of God to convince us. That's why Jesus said, when the Spirit of God is come, when He is come, He will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. If God works in your heart, don't say no to what God says when He speaks to your heart and shows you you need to believe. Oh, how we need to ask the Lord daily to work in our hearts and teach us and draw us closer to Him. So in chapter 20, verse 31, John summarizes what he's been doing in this book. He says in this key verse, chapter 20, verse 31, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." I've written down these things that Jesus said and these things which Jesus did so you could read and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And I know that that believing will give you eternal life. Somebody said the greatest thing that you can do for God is believe it. And that's true. Believe it. Oh, when you try to accomplish something for God, then you must believe what Paul said when he said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And when you pray, you must believe that God can hear and answer prayer. And when we see those promises, we must believe that God is a God who answers promises. And when we present the gospel to somebody, we must believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Oh, what's your response to God? Should always be, only trust Him. Believe. Because all things are possible. We're willing to believe in Him. God can save your soul. God can answer prayers. God can change your life. God can use you in great ways. If we're just willing to believe the Word and the promises and the person of God. Let's pray.